Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Campaign finance, dark money, super PACs, political campaigning? Well, sounds like a perfect comedy to be set in small-town Wisconsin. Irresistible, written and directed by late-night talk show veteran Jon Stewart, aims to be a civic lesson wrapped in a realistic absurdity with a touch of Midwest nice that we're known for. The film follows Gary Zimmer, a Democratic political strategist played by Steve Carell, who uses running a mayoral campaign for a Wisconsin farmer as a way to come out of his post-2016 election slump and to re-energize the heart of the Democratic Party that was long neglected. But Stewart's target is not just the Democratic Party. Actress Rose Byrne stars as Faith Brewster, the Republican National Committee closer that also descends on the small town from Washington, D.C. to ensure the Republican incumbent mayor wins the re-election. The dynamics between the setting of fictional Deerlochen, Wisconsin, and the way D.C. outsiders descend to create change, while on the surface may seem like entertainment, is not far off from the truth of how America operates. To discuss more about Irresistible, I'm joined by film contributor Dave Lurson. Dave Lurson, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you. It's good to be back, even though it's virtual still at this point.
Exactly. Well, this also impacted the movie we're going to talk about right now, Irresistible. It's the newest film written and directed by Jon Stewart. It was slated to open in theaters last month, but due to COVID, is going to be released on demand on the 26th of this month. So how about we just set the scene for our listeners about this new political comedy from Stewart?
Well, yes, political comedy is the word here. I say it pokes fun of both parties, certainly, but the primary objective of this film is the Democratic Party's loss of connection with blue-collar voters, the loss of connection that many activists within the Democratic Party have worried about, that loss of the heartland, of all those people who routinely are denounced for voting against their own best interests and supporting the rightward drift that led to the rise of Donald Trump. There was a book out either earlier this year or late last year by the Nebraska or Kansas Democratic Party chairwoman describing how the Democratic Party can find common ground pretty easily, really, with a rural constituency. One of my favorite political writers, Thomas Frank, has been on this case for several years now, talking about the Democratic Party's need to focus less on special interests and more on a broader appeal to the common good. And so Jon Stewart, I think, is taking up this position here by looking at an East Coast elite leadership of the Democratic Party that is fumbling around trying to figure out how to make these connections.
Do you think that this issue is taken up well, kind of in this little more digestible format of film with comedians and people that we know?
Well, I suppose it will appeal to more people than would read a policy-length book or watch a documentary on the failure, real, imagined, or exaggerated, of the Democratic Party in reaching rural and blue-collar voters. Because, it's the value of taking a serious idea and making it entertaining, adding a little bit of humor. It's an age-old way of getting a message across.
Right, and I kind of enjoy how it plays off that news has essentially become entertainment, so why not make it even more entertaining and educational and put it in a movie?
Yeah, certainly nothing wrong with that at all. I think the peculiar thing about the release of the movie is that it comes at a time when we are all distracted by different kinds of social and political issues, and maybe if there's a downfall to Irresistible is that, had it been released in March or April as originally planned, it would have seemed very timely, and now, it doesn't really have a whole lot to say about Black Lives Matter, but, certainly not COVID-19 and the response to the pandemic. So it seems like it's a little, late to arrive. It's not quite timely in the way that John Stewart may have hoped it would be.
Right. So obviously the world of film and pre-production cannot timely respond to current events, as you said. But do you think that the film was maybe too broad? What did you think of the overall feel of the film? You know, it starts off setting the scene. Steve Carell's character, Gary, is a top Democratic strategist, and it shows the aftermath of Hillary losing the election. And of course, Wisconsin was a big noted news event that Wisconsin wasn't won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Irresistible reflects the frustration that many Democrats and people of progressive political bent felt toward the way the Hillary campaign was run, the way that the Hillary campaign did seem to ignore some obvious sectors of the United States. I mean, she didn't visit Wisconsin during the campaign, and it became a sore point for a lot of people. This film is definitely amplifying this frustration and putting it into a comical light.
What was your opinion on how the film wanted to capture small town Wisconsin in the heartland of America? Of course, you have rallies that include a fish fry and a polka, but did you think they worked well and had some Wisconsin consultants, or what did you think of, basically their interpretation of our state?
Well, yeah, I had read very little about the movie in advance, and the information I had was kind of sketchy. So I was taken by surprise that the beloved fictional town of Deerhawk in Wisconsin was the setting for this. In the aftermath, I found it more that it was actually filmed in Georgia. So is Georgia a good stand-in for Wisconsin? I mean, I guess I didn't see anything that struck me as being really out of place. There were no palm trees in the background, no mountain ranges that don't exist in Wisconsin. I think it was okay. I think where it excelled was getting at the sort of Wisconsin upper Midwest sensibility that maybe we take for granted here, the kind of easygoing, have a good one, temperament of the average person interacting with each other, which seems very strange to the Steve Carell character. I mean, he feels like he's landed on a different planet where, people talk this way and offer you, free bakery from the oven and this kind of thing. I think that there certainly is a lot of truth to that in the way that Midwesterners are compared to some other regions of the U.S.
Right, that Midwest nice is contrasted so plainly with Steve Carell's character, his strategist Gary. And then when he gets involved in highlighting the character known as the Colonel, played by Chris Cooper, in running a campaign for mayor, he gains the attention of Rose Byrne's character, Faith, who is basically the Republican strategist nemesis. So what did you think of the two of their performances? Because clearly these are D.C. outsiders coming to a small Wisconsin town, so the character interplay is very prevalent in this movie.
Yeah, they both come armed with a great deal of money to support two different mayoral candidates, the incumbent Republican being supported by the Rose Byrne character with lots of PAC money, and the Chris Cooper character, the dairy farmer and Marine Corps veteran that Steve Carell is getting behind. And, they're both obvious outsiders, Rose Byrne and Steve Carell's characters in this town. They both managed to, gather together groups of supporters behind their particular issue. And, of course, it becomes a nationwide media spectacle, battle for the heartlands, a partisan test case. Can a Democrat, the Chris Cooper character, win in a rural constituency such as Deerhawk in Wisconsin? And so to do this, I mean, the advertising campaign that Steve Carell devises is really, it's frighteningly realistic. There's a TV ad for Cooper tempered by war or driven by faith, a new kind of Democrat. You know, it's not too much of an exaggeration from the way TV ads are, with the ominous voices and the dramatic orchestration of music and all this kind of stuff. And this becomes maybe the challenge to satirists of all kind in 2020, is that the world itself has become so absurd that it's really hard to almost to make fun of it, because it already is sadly funny. And what can you do? You can exaggerate further a little bit, but then again, you find real life examples of things that are more ridiculous than the exaggeration that you are conceiving. So I take nothing away from Jon Stewart's effort here, but again, I think that people like him have a much harder time in 2020 than they would have in 1980 or 1990.
Well, that's an interesting take on it, because I was wondering before sitting down to watch it, you know, if that late night explainer approach could be transferred from the world of late night comedy into a feature film. So how did you think Stewart did in writing and directing this?
Well, I think he achieved that goal. I mean, it has that kind of sensibility and will certainly appeal to his audience. Did he hope to reach beyond his audience with this? Are the real-life people from towns like Deerhawken going to flock to this? Well, would they have flocked to theaters to see this? Or are they checking it out on video on demand right now? I have a feeling that the answer is no. I think that the message of this film is really directed toward elements of the Democratic Party to energize them and make them aware of some of the deficiencies that occurred with the previous presidential campaign.
Yeah, and in the credit scene, we won't give away the twist of plot for our listeners, but of course in the credits you kind of go back to a late night example of interviewing an expert on the way the system works, how campaigns are done, super PACs, dark money, all of these things. But I also think the film did well in delivering what could have been a very complicated story about the intricacies of campaign finance in a very concise way. You know, for the first time, we were close to the traditional 90-minute film.
Yes, yes. No, I gave him a great deal of credit for being able to distill complicated, wonky, you know, kinds of things, you know, campaign finance. What does this look like today, post Citizens United? How does it work? How does it not work? What is the effect of all of this? How do political consultants attempt to determine specific demographics and demographic groups of people to reach them? I think, you know, again, it's frighteningly realistic. And again, the challenge is okay, I mean, this is funny, but I mean, this is real life. I mean, it's not too far removed from the reality of the situation, if it's removed from it at all in any measurable way.
Right. The whole question of why do we accept that this is how things work, you know, and how the average person from Deerhawken, Wisconsin, does not benefit from this system.
Exactly. So it does make the point quite well. And I would have to say that for all of the spoofing of Steve Carell's character, I think that Faith Brewster, the Rose Byrne GOP strategist, comes off much worse.
Indeed. Well, overall, I did enjoy the little break, I suppose, from one news topic to another, but put in a very pleasant Wisconsin way, I suppose.
Yes. Well, and I hope it does find an audience of people. I think it deserves a good look and a couple of laughs.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you, Audrey.
Dave Lerson is the arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express and one of our regular film contributors. We talked about the new Jon Stewart film Irresistible, which is available on demand this Friday.